From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. We start today's dialogue speaking with members of the Congolese community in Champaign-Urbana. The Congolese population has grown in the area to over 6,000 residents. Many Congolese immigrants come to the U.S. on sponsorship programs for resettling refugees. The Democratic Republic of Congo is the largest country in sub-Saharan Africa. It's rich in minerals, which are used to make technology, like our smartphones and laptops. The DRC has been the point of many internal conflicts, which has led to food scarcity, mass displacement of people, and other crises in the country. We'll be diving a bit into this today as we speak with members of the Congolese community in Champaign-Urbana and the executive director for the Refugee Center, Lisa Wilson.
In the immigration world, the term refugee has a very specific legal meaning, and it's somebody who is outside of their home country, waiting outside of the U.S. to be resettled in our country.
Later on, I took a visit to a local Congolese restaurant. Christelle Mwanza, chef and owner of Le Gourmet Cuisine, taught me how to make fufu and saltfish. Members of the Congolese population here have took it upon themselves to create the Congolese community of Champaign County. I spoke with the president of the association, John Matanda. He's lived in Champaign-Urbana since 2013. John Matanda, welcome to Dialogue. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Champaign-Urbana is now home to over 6,000 Congolese immigrants. Can you give us, as the president of the Congolese community of Champaign, what does this look like for your community? This is growing, this is changing, and I'm sure there's so many different factors that we'll be able to touch on today.
We have been growing for 3 years now. That is not growing that so much because we mostly come here through the DV lottery, which is a random, you will give your name, and if they do the random pull up, if your name is pulled, so you will go through that process and immigrate here so that you are legal. You come here legally.
John is referring to the diversity visa from the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Consular Affairs. It's where the Department of State administers the diversity visa immigrant program. It's an annual program for immigration to the United States. Up to 55,000 immigrants can enter the U.S. each year from countries with low rates of immigration to the United States.
The last term of the President Trump was the problem with COVID-19. And then the DV lottery were canceled. So people, they were ready to come, but they canceled with the travel and so on. Since then, we see the decrease in people that win on DV lottery. So that we see the decrease in growing from 2020 to now. But we still have some people that come. They come as the refugees. They go from Mexico and cross the board. We have some of them. But even one person, if we have one more person added, it grows. But for now, it's not the curve that we used to see how many people that come, decrease a little bit.
As president of the
Congolese community of Champaign County.
Yes, there we go. What do your tasks look like? How do you help members of your community? What, give us a day-to-day if you can.
So I'm the brain, the feet, and the hands. Mm. Brain, feet, hands. I mean, if it comes to something that's required to think, they come to me and ask about that. If it's something that's required to find a job, that's why I say and, they come to me and ask for advice. I have an office, I have two vice presidents, I have a secretary, and so on. So if I'm not able to answer, one of them can answer it. If they want to move from the place to place, or they want to go to shop, they don't have car, they don't have money to pay for the bus, They will ask, we will help them transportation and do all the stuff. So basically, our role is to bring all our community members together, keeping our culture, helping them to integrate in American culture as well. We there too, when one of the community member has a problem, most of the time, if we have sick in the community, we have someone pass away, so we will collect money, because in Africa, what we do, we don't just go with the card and say, hey, deeply condolences. No, we collect money and we will give to that family, because we know person may have the insurance, the person may have whatever he has, but the situation is the death will lead to expenses. People will spend money. So as a community, we collect money. So $50 per each working person. Sometimes we close to the $25,000, $23,000. So we give to that person the kind for us to say, hey, we are very sorry for your loss. And another thing is, if people are looking for the job, for example, I have different several company contacting me if they need more workers, so they know that they can reach out to me. And I know the people in community that can work for them. So we are there to help the people respond to their question in some ways and tell them where to go in case they need something.
That's inspiring. That's really inspiring, because you're helping your community and you're just a channel of resources for anything. I'm sure that other people could see how much you're helping others and the impact that that has.
Yes. And you know, another thing is, so there are people that help us a lot with advices. We may have some, or the kid, they don't listen to parents. So African kind, we know how to talk to the children. That is very different from American culture. But we try to bridge both culture and to make it together.
How do you build trust in community?
I'm going to people when they have problem. I try to talk to them. I try to advise them. And I'm leading an example. They see how I live. They see, they have the testimony around me. Just that the way I build trust. Chantal
Soninoko. We're speaking with John Matonda. He's the president of the Congolese Association in Champaign County. We're talking about the resources that he provides for other members of his culture and what that looks like when you first move to America. So let's talk about your day-to-day job. You're also a third and fourth grade school teacher.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I am combining classes, teachers, school teachers. So I teach French and English. All the courses that are related to someone who has a class, as me, I have my own class. Is a French DO language teacher, school, no classroom. So that what I do is all the subjects, math, science, social study, all those subjects. But PE, I'm not a PE teacher. They are going to PE.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the art, dancing, drama, music. They have their own teacher. Other than that, all other courses, English, math, French. We have almost 2 hours learning French every single day.
Wow.
So other than that, we have those different topics that we learn, and I'm the one that did it, that do it. So the day by day, I start my day at 8:10. I close my day with students around 2:50, and after that, I should stay to get ready for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's my routine.
When you're teaching these students 2 hours of French in the classroom pretty much every day, like, who are the students you're teaching? When you grow up in the Congo, you already know French. That's one of your first languages, right? Who are the students you are teaching in Champaign-Urbana?
I have 18 students in my classroom. So I don't only have French speakers. I have American. I have students coming from other parts of Africa. And I have Congolese as well. But to be in the program, you should start. If you are not, the French is not your first language, you should start from the kindergarten. But the student that came, that they, if they come from a different country, but they speak French as a first language, they can join the program in third, in fifth, in five, in second grade, because they already had the French as their primary language. But if there's someone who never spoke French and just can't want to join the program, the condition is to be in kindergarten.
In kindergarten.
You can grow with it, yeah.
Masua, yo ano mi mio nangai bolua, oye baka, na kuzela.
Tell us about your heritage. Tell us about your culture. How are you keeping this alive so far away from home?
The culture, Congolese culture, is first centered on respect. Let me give you an example. Everyone who is older, I call him Papa. That means dad. Everyone who is like my mom, the age, I will call mom. Because we have some value that it's very important for us to keep. I have a Facebook live show that I do. Sometimes I advise people. We have a WhatsApp group where anytime when we have information, we send it out. And another way is Congolese churches.
Mm-hmm.
The Congolese churches, the way they pray is related to Africa. The way the priest or the pastor preach, it's related to Africa. So that's the way we try to keep the culture. So even my students everywhere, they call me Papa John. And even some of them, they make fun of me. They say, hey, you owe too much pizza. You should start bringing us pizza every single day. I'm one of the board members in YMCA, the immigrant center. But I'm not talking about them because here I'm not. I'm like a president. I can't talk on their behalf. So I had an idea. I'm working on already. And I think that I try to get more people involved as much as I can. So the idea is once a year to find the way to say thank you to this welcoming country. So, for example, now we had Iraqian war. We had war in Iraq. Now we have Israel that is fighting. They tried to bring refugees in America, and then America has been welcoming refugees. So they give the safe place to those people that were in war. So my idea is, all those people, it depends on how you come in America. I know my community, I know how we live there, how people were struggling. I'm not saying all the people that come struggle, but the majority of them. So even to find a job was hard. So we come in the country where we have a job. We get paid bi-weekly or weekly, it depends. So why can't we say thank you? It's like someone, you knock the door, it's running outside. There is no way you can go and protect yourself from rain. And there is only one house on the road. You knock to someone's door and that person will let you in, change your clothes, give you some coffee until it stops raining, get his car, bring you back at where you live. So at least you should say thank you to that person. So that's the idea, is to have what we call immigrant Thanksgiving. So the immigrant Thanksgiving will be an organization once a year, maybe. If we have door open and we talk to one representative or a senate or congressman, if they can talk about that in Congress. So let's have every year American, immigrant Thanksgiving, where all immigrants will get together. I don't want to say all idea here because some people may steal it. So the big picture of this is we will have a day. All immigrants, we will find a way to say thank you to this welcoming country. Yes, that will be my next step.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I know a lot of people could definitely look for places, even outside of their community, from other places where they're immigrating from, to integrate and to engage with others. So I think that's a lovely idea.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, John Matanda, for coming on Dialogue. We appreciate it. And thank you for all that you're doing for the community.
Thank you so much for spelling my name the way it should be spelled.
Anytime, Mr. Matanda. Anytime.
Le grand moyen R.O. Nathalie Bumba, zéro faute.
Coming up next on Dialogue, we're continuing our conversation with Prosper Panumpabi, another Congolese community member, and Lisa Wilson, the executive director for the Refugee Center, about the rise of immigration here in southern and central Illinois. As we go to the break, we leave you with the sounds of legendary Congolese artist Koffi Olomide. Stay with us on Dialogue after this short break. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. More than 15% of the CU's population are Black, but not all were born in America. The Congolese population has grown in the area to over 6,000 residents. Many Congolese immigrants come to the U.S. on sponsorship programs for resettling refugees. They speak a number of languages, including French and Lingala. Right now, we're going to hear from Lisa Wilson. She's the executive director for the Refugee Center. She'll be sharing more on the growing immigrant population in Champaign-Urbana. And later on, I visited a Congolese restaurant, learning about traditional dishes from the Democratic Republic of Congo. We now welcome Lisa Wilson to Dialogue. She's the executive director at the Refugee Center in Champaign. She says the Refugee Center is an Illinois welcoming center through the Illinois Department of Human Services. She calls it a one-stop shop for immigrant and refugee services. In times of helping families with resettlement services, they find housing, culturally appropriate groceries, enrolling children in school, and much more. I asked her first to define refugee for our listeners.
In the immigration world, the term refugee has a very specific legal meaning, and it's somebody who is outside of their home country, waiting outside of the U.S. to be resettled in our country. We receive a quota of refugees and special immigrant visa holders that some have selected to come to Champaign-Urbana because they have ties to the area, and others are what we call free cases. They don't have a connection to the area. They've just been assigned to this area based on capacity.
What are some of the challenges that the Congolese population faces when they first get to Champaign-Urbana?
Well, for some, there's a language barrier. Not all. There's a fair number of clients that are able to make themselves understood very easily. But then when it comes to the more technical things, like an immigration renewal. But yeah, there are definitely barriers. I know many Congolese have experienced trauma. I mean, that's why many of them have left, with the ethnic violence and wars. That's definitely a barrier to overcome. With different stigmas about mental health issues, we certainly offer our clients the ability to connect to mental health providers. So I think barriers often depends on what immigration status somebody came in with. For example, we have Congolese that are here as part of the diversity visa lottery. So every year the United States recognizes that there are ethnicities and countries that are not well represented in the United States. And so then there's a quota of, okay, we're going to take so many people from this country because they're not well represented in the United States. And the Democratic Republic of Congo is one of those countries. So there is a quota every year of people that can choose to enter what's called the lottery. And if their application is chosen, and I am not sure on how they do that, but if they are chosen, they win a diversity visa and they are able to come to the United States. and then there's a pathway for them to become a legal permanent resident. So that way, they have employment authorization and are able to come and work. Now, compare that to somebody who comes across the border without inspection. It's called Entry Without Inspection, EWI, and they don't have employment authorization, and perhaps they are seeking asylum once they get to our country. That person is not going to be eligible for as many benefits as the person that came on the diversity visa lottery.
There's been over 6,000 Congolese immigrants who have migrated to Champaign-Urbana. Can you tell us what that means for the overall community and maybe provide some other statistics or background information for our listeners?
Well, I think it's a great benefit to the community. I think the addition of African stores like Best of Africa and then opening up of restaurants, you know, sharing the food, sharing the stories, sharing the culture. These are all wonderful things that should be embraced and hopefully appreciated.
Primarily, a lot of the Congolese people here in the CU area are working in factories, or a lot of them are working in the kitchens at the U of I. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. Those are jobs that traditionally are held by newcomers to the United States while they're learning English. When we receive, whether it's through our refugee resettlement program or just when a client walks in our door, one of the things that we're doing an assessment of is language acquisition. There are certain jobs that if you don't speak enough English, you're not going to be able to attain that certain job. Things like manufacturing and in food service, those are the kinds of jobs where with minimal interpretation and a lot of hand motions and that kind of communication, they can still hold those jobs.
How do Congolese people contribute to the Champaign community? How important is their role in the development of where Champaign-Urbana is heading?
Yeah. Well, I think we've got a lot of leaders in the Congolese community. I think they've stepped up. They've organized themselves, which I think is tremendous, shows the strength in numbers and strength in purpose. It's a wonderful thing to see. They, like I said before, they tend to be very organized within their church community, which is wonderful, and is a sense of support for the community. I think they've shown that they are good leaders and will continue to lead more newcomers that come into the community.
Lisa Wilson from the Refugee Center, thank you for having this dialogue with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Présence à moto oyo ozali kolula lokola na lula masia yende kisinanga.
You're currently listening to JB and Piana and the Wenge Musica. They were a Congolese suku band. It was formed by Didier Mazla and directed by JB Mpiana. In the 90s, this band was considered one of the most dominant on the Congolese scene. Today, we're speaking with members of the Congolese community in Champaign-Urbana. And now, we're pivoting our conversation to speak with Prosper Panumpabi. He's lived in the United States for over 20 years and first came here with his degree from the Democratic Republic of Congo in electrical engineering. He then found out about the diversity visa from the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Consular Affairs. After, he applied for the program and was accepted. He then worked on opening up multiple career pathways for other Congolese coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
He started working with companies in Gibson City to have easier access into hiring Congolese immigrants. Prosper Panumpabi saw an opportunity to start a program at Parkland College to teach others in French how to drive a forklift. Then he started a church and made it his mission to create more resources for others, as he reflects on how hard it was for him back then. Prosper Panumpabi, thank you so much for having this dialogue with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I came here in 2002 with my family, my wife and a huge family, six kids. Moved to America, the country of dream, you know. But coming here, you know, it was not easy. But I made my way differently than most of us. The time I came, things were not easy. We are, you know, a small population. There were no organization like we have now, a number of Congolese, you know. Today, when you go at Cal Clinic, you can have, you know, the translation in Lingala. Community has grown, and we have an organization of, you know, Congolese, you know, Congolese community of Champaign-Urbana. They're solid, very solid, you know, compared to other organizations around the country. So those things did not exist. We have built this in a way to have the community as it is today.
Before Prosper came to America, he was in the capital, Kinshasa. He tells me about when he left the war and how the current conflicts of the country make him feel. He explains to me that everything he has built today and who he is because of his country, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Where, you know, we have this war ongoing. We don't know the day it's going to end. So all those are a concern for everybody. But at the other side, you know, what I will say, we have, you know, stable people, intelligent, business, you know, oriented in Congo. Why we can't talk together? Why we can't talk together? And that way, you know, there is all things, you know, which will be done will be, you know, correct. Nobody will have to die. Nobody will be killed. There will be no population moved, you know, as we can walk together and we're going to bring peace. I'm sad, you know, for what is happening, you know, right now in my country. You know, we have lived this war since the time of President Mbuse Kabila. It's something, you know, we learn to live with. The reason for this war is very, very complex. I'm going to share something secret. People will be surprised, but, you know, I have been, you know, privileged to work on the mining project in Democratic Republic of Congo. So I was represented, you know, to American company. They wanted, you know, to have a mining square in Katanga on the first high deposit of cobalt.
Of cobalt.
Yes. So imagine the country which has the most deposit of cobalt worldwide is Congo. So I've been, you know, represented those two American companies sometime to help them to get, you know, the license. But after that, good side or bad side, things are changing. Today, you know, the worldwide is facing the problem of global warming. We have just one planet, Planet A. We have to save the Planet A, the only one we have today, are facing the global warming. I'm an electrical engineer. I represent the best of Africa in America on my field. It is said that in way to help reduce the increase of temperature, the electrical industry has big responsibility. We see the need of new, you know, component mining. I'm talking about the lithium.
Lithium.
Yes. I'm talking about coltan. That's, you know, material that is used to build, you know, our phone.
earlier you explained that some members of your community call you the baobab tree.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So baobab is a big tree, which is meaning that that tree will be living for years. I wanted to elevate the community. Then I started the church. The reason I started the church was I have a big heart to help. I started helping, you know, Congolese immigrants to get a decent job. Those people have been in my house. Those people have been in my life.
Prosper Panumpabi, thank you so much for having this dialogue with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Prosper Panumpabi, a Congolese community member in Champaign, Urbana. You're listening to Dialogue on the all-new Illinois Soul. And we're taking a quick break on speaking with members in the Congolese community. Up next, I'll be speaking with Christelle Mwanza. She owns Le Gourmet Cuisine in downtown Urbana. Stay with us on Dialogue. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. More than 15% of the CU's population are Black, but not all were born in America. The Congolese population has grown in the area to over 6,000 residents. Many Congolese immigrants come to the U.S. on sponsorship programs for resettling refugees. In early May, I visited Christelle Mwanza. She's the chef and owner of Le Gourmet Cuisine. It's located in the Broadway Food Hall in Urbana. She's been open for business for 2 years now, and she's serving her neighbors, families, and friends, and new patrons trying African food for the first time. She welcomed me with open arms into her kitchen as she showed me traditional Congolese dishes and the way that she prepares them to serve the community.
So what kind of fish is this?
This one? It's a salt fish.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the water to unsalt that a little bit, not that much.
So if someone's never had saltfish before, how salty is the saltfish?
For now, it's very salty because, as I say, I want to put it in the water. Before putting it in the water, yeah, it's very salty. Mm-hmm. But when you put it in the water, it's going to try a little bit to take off a little bit of salt. That will be now, I can say, normal.
How did you first get into cooking?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I always say that it's just a grace, you know, just a grace. But I'm going to say that in the Bible, they say that God is giving grace to anyone that he wants. You know, it's like me. It's just a grace. Cooking, I didn't start out here in the United States. Exceptionally cooking for people. I didn't start that here. It's something that I've been doing, I don't know if I have to say all of my life. Because before having this restaurant here, I had to in my country. I just closed them because I have to move in the United States. And then when I come in here, I start to work in a warehouse. As people who come in from another country. First day, second, third day.
You didn't like working in the warehouse?
It was not easy. In my country, I was not only cooking. I was, like you, a news reporter, a journalist, if I can say that. Yeah, that's what I was doing. And then instead of having my restaurant, that job that I was doing. And then when I come over here, like in warehouse, you know, that two life different. And I was saying that I will not do that much time in doing this kind of work, job. But for how long? I didn't know at the time. When I start having a kid, I was keep saying that I'm gonna open a restaurant. But that was not easy because I was saying that I want someone to take care of my kid before doing that kind of job. I want my mom to come over here taking care of my kid. God decided differently, as we were saying. My mom passed away and things become like hard for me. I say, now my husband was right when he was saying that when if mommy will not be here, you will do nothing. I just try. I say, okay, mommy's not there. God, you give me that grace. Cooking is a grace. Second thing that I want, give me, I don't know, the ability to do that by myself. Before thinking that I got someone who can do something, I know that you're the one who can be doing everything on me, and then I can be able to do everything that I want.
Do you feel like cooking runs in your family?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did your mom cook a lot?
Yeah, she was doing that too. Yeah, she was. The way that I'm making it, a little bit different than my mom.
Christelle is cooking up some grilled goat meat. She serves it with chicken, fried rice, and fried plantain.
This one I'm making a goat. A goat meat. This is a goat meat.
Goat meat holds a significant place in Congolese cuisine. It's widely available in the region, especially along the Congo River. Goat meat is cherished in Congolese cuisine, Christelle tells me, for its taste, cultural significance, and the availability to its people. Whether it's smoked, grilled, or stewed, goat meat remains a beloved ingredient in traditional Congolese dishes.
And what's your favorite thing to make?
To make fish, this goat, the goat meat, what is? I'm making fufu right now.
Fufu is a staple of West African cuisine. It's typically served with a variety of African soups and stews. Basically, it's like your bread and tomato soup. It's made from a mix of starchy vegetables like yam or cassava root. The traditional technique is true yams are boiled and then mashed in a wooden mortar and pestle until it's smooth and sticky, like dough, in traditional fufu preparation. Now, the real task is knowing how to eat fufu. How do we eat fufu? Well, you grab a piece with your right hand, press it in with your thumb, and you kind of create a dent, and then you use it as a scoop for your soup or stew. You dig it into your dish, load it with all the deliciousness, and when you put it in your mouth, you don't chew it. I even asked Christelle, and sometimes she said that you can chew it, but typically you don't need to chew it because it's already soft.
How do you feel that your restaurant has been accepted in the Champaign-Urbana community?
For sure, at the beginning that was not easy, because it's a kind of food that Americans didn't know, you know. And then our country, I'm not sure that they know stuff about our country. It was not easy at the beginning, but they were nice too. Other people was about like, were like, they want to try new stuff coming, new food, yeah. But for now, I can say most of the people who are coming are like, I hear about this restaurant. I saw that in the news, I saw that somewhere, I see them grab up, I want to try. Yeah, for now, we now unknown, I can say like that. People now knows that there is an African food. Yeah, they do like it. Yes.
So in the community, it's kind of word to mouth that people are able to hear about your restaurant. People are talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do got people talking about it.
Can you explain to us what you're doing with the fufu right now?
Yeah, I'm trying just, it's, I'm cooking it. We're using water and then that semolina powder.
And you're mashing it.
Exactly.
You're mashing it in the pot. How long have you had your restaurant open for?
In United States, it's almost 2 years. In August, that would be exactly 2 years.
What do you think it means for the Congolese community here, your friends, your family, that you have a restaurant in Champaign-Urbana and you're able to provide them with the food from your culture and from your home country?
They're coming most of the time. They have to come over here. Sometimes they have to make a party while here, meeting while here. They can have a meeting. After meeting, they buy some food, they buy some drink. Yeah, yeah. For sure, I got my community support, yeah.
What is it like being an entrepreneur and an immigrant?
Oh. First, we say it looks like it's not only being immigrant. It looks like having something like your own company here, not easy too. I have to say that. Not easy, but when you got also your community support, he can help you to go far, you know. A little bit of difference when I was working in my country than here, we do got too many taxes. You have to, anything, everything that you are doing, you have to take some for taxes for me. You cannot be doing stuff not paying for, no.
I'm speaking with Christelle Mwanza. She's the chef and owner of Le Gourmet Cuisine. It's located in the Broadway Food Hall in Urbana.
God grace, I always say that, always, always, God grace. I'm working by God.
God's grace continues to carry you throughout your purpose in cooking.
Exactly. That's grace. Are we not putting that water just for a second? No, it's gonna take too long. Like, you put in the water, after 2 hours, I'm gonna take off that water because it got salt, and then I put another one. I can be doing that process like 3-4 times. It can take a day. Yeah.
Christelle took me back to the salt fish soaking in the sink. She then introduced me to her daughter, Favor. She said her kids are always in the kitchen with her at the restaurant. Favor shares with us some of her favorite dishes her mom cooks for her.
Would you like to eat?
Fufu.
Fufu. Okay, what are you eating that with?
Plantain.
You eating that with plantain? But you eating that with something else. What is it?
Fish. Vegetable.
Uh-huh. What are we eating with fufu? Rice and what? Fufu and what? Exactly.
Christelle's husband shares with us what it's like moving to a small city like Champaign-Urbana and becoming an entrepreneur rather than living in the big city of Chicago.
For people who just came from other countries like Africa, it's better to start with the small town.
What does it mean to have the support of your community and other Congolese people just supporting your business? Like, how does it feel? What does it mean to you and your family?
That means a lot for us because we need that support from our community and all other community too.
When you bring African food to America, a lot of people might not understand how you cook this or how do you eat it. What is it like making African food for Americans or maybe even Black Americans?
It's about diversity. So I think, in my opinion, we have to discover so many cultures because we got a lot of culture in the world, over the world. So every part of, so in this world, every part of this world have a own culture. So, but it's better for people who live in this world to try to discover every culture, because you may think that yours should be better because you always live with that, but maybe other things is better than that. So for me, the diversity is very good for people to discover how the world is right now.
How do you get the word out about your restaurant? How do you get the word out to the community?
Like Facebook, Instagram, like TikTok.
If you're interested in trying Christelle's food, you can go to Facebook or Instagram and you can find it with Le Gourmet Cuisine by Christelle. That's LESGOURMETS Cuisine by Christelle.
In a lot of cultures in the world, people connect over music. They connect over food, you know. How have you in your life connected to food and your culture, and how does that connect to here in America?
It's a tough question because that two different things, that two different cultures. So for us, like you say, everything go with the music. Also, I think in the United States, the food is a part of connection way for different culture too.
Using the social media, it's a job that my husband's doing. He's the one who's taking care of all of that stuff. You know, I'm a cooker, only a cooker, but I'm not able to do any other stuff. He's the one who's taking care of that part.
So I also interviewed other Congolese members of the community, like John Matanda and Prosper Panumpabi, and they were always talking about how Congolese people come to America and they're entrepreneurs. You started your own business and as a restaurant. Other people started maybe a daycare in their home, or they opened a church, right? Being an entrepreneur, starting something for yourself, how does it feel to be an entrepreneur and to be able to call the restaurant yours?
Part of me, yeah, part of what I'm doing. Not easy, but just part of me, part of what I'm doing, because we're not in our country, and it's taking a risk to do that kind of work that we are doing, having your own enterprise, if I can say like that. Yes, it's a risk, but I'm also, as I say, proud of me that I try and then it's going well.
Thank you, Christelle, for taking the time to tell us about your kitchen, and thank you for talking with us on Dialogue today.
Thank you to you for coming to us. Thank
you. The Dialogue team would like to thank Christelle Mwanza. If you're interested in listening to all of this Congolese music, you can go to illinoisoul.org. We made a playlist for you representing all of the Congolese music you're hearing right now. You can now find the Dialogue podcast on Spotify and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Illinois Soul. Dialogue's executive producers are Nidhi Shastri and myself, Kennedy Vincent. Our news and public affairs director is Reginald Hardwick, and production assistance by Steve Mork. Dialogue is a part of Illinois Soul and Illinois Public Media. Join us for our next Dialogue, Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul, and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on AM 580.